Good morning. Our Old Testament reading is from Psalm 78. My people hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And then our New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 13 and reading from verse 31. And it's a number of parables that we're looking at this morning. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast first. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. And then we're going to read the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl from verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And then the parable of the net. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. So, Heavenly Father, as we come now to reflect on what we have heard from your word, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to guide us in our thinking and in our understanding, and help us to respond to your word appropriately through Christ our Lord. Amen. In most cultures, and certainly in most generations, I think people love to hear stories. Stories help to illustrate an argument or a point that is being made. And it's been said that Jesus was the greatest storyteller of all time because he told lots of parables. The scholars tell us that there are 46 parables that are recorded in the Gospels, and some of which overlap with slight variations in different accounts. But Jesus told parables. And here in Matthew 13, which is the lectionary reading that we have for us today. There are lots of parables helping the listener back then and the reader today to understand something about the nature of God's kingdom. Matthew records Jesus beginning Matthew 13 with the parable of the sower, and then goes into the parable of the weeds before the two parables that we're then going to look at today, the mustard seed and yeast. And as Neil said, then he concludes with the parables of the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, and finally the fishing net. And they all say something really significant about the kingdom of God. But we're just going to focus our minds, our attention on these few verses, 31 to 34, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. Both mustard seed and yeast, of course, are very small and seemingly insignificant. These two parables are sometimes taught as being about how God's kingdom grows from small beginnings to be big and powerful. All on the surface, that is a helpful and a nice way to read it. That Jesus was born in a very obscure place, in a backwater town, within the Roman Empire, and then just with a few band of followers after 30 years of living on the earth, he then developed into a worldwide religion, which we know as Christianity. That's the narrative that sometimes comes through when you read these parables. But I think that actually isn't what is being said here. Now, parables, of course, are good things. They can teach us different things at different times. Perhaps one of the reasons why Jesus taught with parables was exactly that, to allow room for the listener to reflect on the story and perhaps draw different conclusions at different times, still holding the main teaching. Now, some people see a very subversive teaching at play here. Now, whether or not you observe that as you read the text, perhaps there is, however, more going on than we tend to think. So on the surface, this seems to be about the kingdom of God growing from something small into something big. But let's look at these two parables briefly, because there is more going on here. First of all, then, the mustard seed. Jesus talks about the mustard seed in different places, and particularly you can think about Matthew 17. We read of a man bringing his son to Jesus for healing. First of all, to the disciples. The disciples can't do anything about it. They can't cure him. The man brings his son to Jesus, and Jesus responds by saying to the disciples, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could do great things like move mountains. But here, when Jesus is talking about a mustard seed in Matthew 13, it's not in relation to one's faith or lack thereof, but about the kingdom of God. So as we've heard a little bit from Sarah this morning about a mustard seed, it grows into something very big. Scholars tell us that a mustard seed grows into a shrub. A big shrub, but a shrub nevertheless. Because this passage isn't about triumphalism. It isn't about saying, well, the kingdom of God grows from something very, very small, and then it goes into a massive tree, and Christianity is a bigger world religion than Hinduism or Buddhism or Islam or anything else. It isn't about triumphalism. Yes, it has an impact, but it is something different. It doesn't grow into the great cedars of Lebanon that we read of in the scriptures. It isn't about the big oaks that we see around us. I love big oak trees. This isn't about saying that the kingdom of God is mightier than Rome or any other empire. This is about growth. But the growth isn't about the size, but rather about the impact. Then we move on to yeast. A again, this is all about the kingdom of God. Again, in other places, Jesus speaks of yeast. He talks about the yeast of the Pharisees in a very negative sense. We read of that in Mark chapter 8, referring to their hypocrisy. But in this verse, there are things that we can tend to miss. The first is that Jesus used a woman in this parable. Again, we know that women were little more than commodities at that time, so please don't miss the point that Jesus is making by having a woman as the central point or the person in this parable. Something else that we might miss is the amounts that this woman is using to make the bread and how the yeast is actually used. Because the yeast, and some translations, and this is where it's important, some translations have the yeast is mixed into the dough. But actually, the Greek really implies that it is hidden in the dough. That is a really critical point of our understanding of what is being said here, because this is something a bit more secretive, a bit more subversive. But then there's also the detail about the measure of flour. We're told that she has 3 measures of flour. That actually amounts to anywhere between 40 and 60 pounds of flour. Now, the image here is one of extravagance. There's far too much bread for one person. So the kingdom of God resembles a batch of staple food like bread that is so enormous that one person couldn't possibly consume it, so there is enough for the whole village. I don't do baking. I leave that to other people in the household who are much more gifted than me about certain things. But there are certain things about making bread in ancient times that we can tend to miss. We shouldn't imagine little packets of yeast that we would maybe use today when we're baking bread. I quote how ancient bread making was done. Without an understanding of microbiology, early bakers would have had little ability to directly control yeast cultures, but still kept locally interesting cultures by reusing doughs and starters to leaven later batches. These leaven cultures would be transferred from batch to batch by means of previously mixed old dough. So the kingdom of God is something like a little batch of microbes, living things too small to see, that operate through a process of decay to bring life to a lump of dead dough, invisibly transforming it into something tasty and nourishing. Some of the leaven and the yeast is so interesting and delightful that the baker saves some of the dough from each batch to use it over and over and over again to make loaf after loaf after loaf. This is like the kingdom of God. It is something so small, seemingly insignificant, but is actually so important that it is used over and over again because it has such an incredible impact. Mustard seeds and yeast. Both are illustrations of how God's kingdom will grow to permeate and transform the whole world. Both are small, but are incredibly significant. Both are hidden, one in the dirt and one in the dough. Both slowly work in their own context. One expands outward, the other works inward. One is expansive, the other invasive. Amy Jill Levine has written on the parables of Jesus, and her perspective is really, really helpful. And I read something of her work as I was preparing for this week. One of the things she says is this: Don't ask when the kingdom comes or where it is. The when is in its own good time, as long as it takes for seed to sprout and dough to rise. The where is that it is already present in the world. Again, that just reminds us that the kingdom of God is here in our midst, but not yet fully until the return of Jesus. So I believe that what Jesus was saying with these two parables was simply that the kingdom of God is something that is hidden, not observed or realized by everyone, but that which is making an incredible impact in the world. It may be small, but by the work of the Holy Spirit, it is significant. So every act of kindness and love and compassion, however small or seemingly insignificant, will have profound impact in ways that we can't see at this stage. For the kingdom of God isn't about power or might or glory, but it is about love, humility, and grace. And God is growing his kingdom in our midst. May we have eyes to see it. Amen.